Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Today is February 28th, Friday, February 28th, 2025. Okay. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in Chapter 6 into Action, that first paragraph on page 82. Perhaps there are some cases, and it ends with face-to-face combat. Our readers for today, the steps, 12 steps is Tenzin P. Joni C. is going to take care of the traditions. Starting off with the text is Judith S.P. Page 164 is Joni Y. Backup readers Anita L. Newcomer greeter Lelon P. Second hour host is Eileen M. And announcement is Kathy S. All right. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, February 27, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,205. So it's 22,205. The 10 a.m. meeting is 22,208. 22,208. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public, private, or organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I've asked Tenzin P. to read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation, our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Joni C. with the traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop. stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Joni. Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in a big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in Chapter 6, into Action, page 82, the first paragraph. It starts with, perhaps there are some cases, and it ends with, rather than risk a face-to-face combat. And Joni Wise is going to, and I'm sorry, Judith S.P. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your moderating. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And most importantly, thank you, God. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind. Keep it always in sight that we are dealing with the most terrible human condition, jealousy. Good generalship may decide that the problem be attacked on the flank rather than risk a face-to-face combat. So what comes to mind, and this is a challenging paragraph for me, it's not speaking to me right away, and I'm flooding with lots of thoughts and inspirations from my higher power. But I remember that before I came into these rooms, I was a mess. And even if outwardly I had checked off the boxes of some of the accomplishments in the third dimension, I was miserable most of the time inside. And part of that misery came from not knowing how to be a human being, not knowing the best way to be part of this universal experience that God has given me. And what I'm finding as we're reading into action is it's really helping me hear from others as well as from my forefathers the instructions on how to live as an appropriate, kind, loving human being. So in this particular paragraph, for me, I have to have the utmost frankness, which is honesty, the first principle in step one. I have to be honest. And no outsider can tell me or even guide me to what I need to do or how I need to be. However, it is important to get thoughts, experience, strength, and hope from others. But ultimately, my relationship with my husband, with my adult children, with all people that I come in contact with, it is an intimate, God-centered experience that can only be guided by my higher power. Yes, as it says in the traditions, that we can agree to disagree. We can come together with good sense and loving kindness, and we can let the past be the past. Once we've made that connection with another human being, coming to them with the true intent of not undoing or making up for the harms, but knowing that going forward, we are living in a God-centered experience. And it is imperative for me to pray and meditate for the other person, for the happiness, and provide the love that is needed. Jealousy is something that I've let go of. Maybe it's age, maybe it's being in the program and knowing that God is taking care of and loving me. But I don't want what anyone else has because I don't really know what anyone else has. So that's an illusion. I may think that it's good to walk side by side instead of hitting directly in terms of making amends. So with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Judith. All right, we're going to open up the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. What I need is your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who's up?
Mark Z, Minnesota.
Mark. Minnesota. Who else? Come on. You got ample time here.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G. Okay.
Larry K.
All right, Larry.
Lisa H.
Lisa H.
Hana Yetta R.
All right, Hana Yetta and Cheryl.
Roy C.
All right, one second. Troy C, okay. There was someone before that. Cheryl. I got the list. Troy C is the Florida guy. Could do two or three more. Who else? All right. Mark Z, Chris G, Larry K, Lisa H, Hanietta R, Cheryl, I think it was Cheryl H, and Troy C. All right, Mark, you're up.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for your service. And Mark Z, recovering compulsive overeater. I'm so glad we came across this paragraph this morning. I have never struggled so much with jealousy, but envy has been a very common problem in my psyche. And I've heard it said the difference between envy and jealousy is when I'm jealous, I see you got something I want and I want to take it away from you. But envy is I see you've got something I want and I won't be happy unless I have it too. It's not like I'm trying to take it away from you, but my envy won't let me be happy unless I have that same thing. And I will confess that I've been envious of different people's success, maybe their power, that kind of thing. And I think I need to make an amends to myself regarding this. Learning to walk side by side with people and just to enjoy the journey is another ongoing challenge for me. I'm getting better and better at that. And these, I love how the big book is talking about no outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness, what a beautiful concept, loving kindness, is to let bygones be bygones. A lot of my amends is just stopping my bad behavior. And one of the bad behaviors I've stopped is there's certain kinds of people I like to poke at. But you know what? They're suffering too with their trials and tribulations in life. And I need to quit poking at people. People are not something to be trifled with. They're not objects for my amusement. What a great paragraph. I love it. Have a great meeting, everyone. Look forward to hearing your shares.
Thank you, Mark. Next up is Chris G, followed by Larry K.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here. And my name is Chris G. I do live in East Tennessee, and I spell it with a K. And I am a compulsive overeater. So when I get to this paragraph or this part of the story with a sponsee, the thing I say is jealousy is not love. And for me, that was a misconception that I thought jealousy was something to do with, you know, I was jealous of you because I loved you so much. And it's not love. But letting bygones be bygones is a real challenge. Letting go of jealousy when you have it is a real challenge. So the instruction here is to pray for the other person that they would have everything that I would want to have. So I would pray for you. And how long it would take to do that, to let go of jealousy and let bygones be bygones, I don't know. But the idea for me is that jealousy is not love, and it's a negative, not a positive. And we have to work at letting go of it. It's work to let go of it. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. Next up is Larry K, followed by Lisa H.
Hey, Russ. Larry K, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. I'll set a timer here. So the I'll stick with the theme of letting bygones be bygones. Like Leah said, you know, we're trying a different new life, I'm putting on a new hat. Guys like Russ and me, I can speak for Russ. We never let bygones be bygones. You know, it's all transactional. You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. You know, unless, of course, you know, I want to manipulate things. See, for me, working the steps and building a relationship with the power, it unfolds in a dynamic kind of nonlinear way. Now, I know that we certainly work the steps sequentially in a specific order, right? And like this, in this paragraph, we're provided with some guidance along the way, telling us, you know, it's about something about prayer and letting bygones be bygones. That's counterintuitive for me. But what I've experienced and what I've seen in others, I've seen in you over the years, is how this spiritual transformation unfolds. It appears to be in a non-linear fashion. I think of like a phenomena known as the butterfly effect. And maybe you've heard of it. The butterfly effect is where, you know, seemingly trivial inputs like the flapping of the butterfly's wings, you know, in one location, then disproportionately determines later conditions like weather patterns. The butterfly flaps in its wings in South America, and that sets off a chain atmospheric event, and there's a tornado in Texas or something. I don't know. So this illustrates how small changes in initial conditions in the way we're living can have dramatic changes later on. And I see recovery this way. We take action after action, trying on a new hat, an entirely new way of living. And this is the flapping of the butterfly's wings. And as the wings flutter a little bit, we begin to change in the midst of taking these actions. And maybe my worldview changes. And what happens, maybe there's some tipping point where we move from a self-centered consciousness to a God-centered consciousness. I mean, how else might today's subtle and sometimes fleeting sense of spiritual growth, it launches like a divine cascade, if you will, of that reshapes our lives. The Big Book was right. On page 28, what seemed at first a flimsy reed proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. For each of us, what I see is the trajectory of recovery spirals. It bounces, it twists, it turns, it does all sorts of stuff. But ultimately, we have the opportunity to flourish all by the grace of God. What a deal. What a deal. With that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Larry. You know me well, cause you know who I am. Next up is Lisa H., followed by Hanayetta.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service this morning. This is Lisa H., gratefully recovered from Memphis, Tennessee this morning. And I am reflecting a lot of things, especially this week, because I'm 10 years abstinent this week, and I have a great deal of gratitude, especially for this meeting. Where I showed up and I immediately could identify in, and I could immediately hear the message and really felt like I found my people. So thank you all for that today. And the word jealousy certainly pops up in the last paragraph and in this paragraph. And it does make me think, you know, one of the synonyms, right, is envy. Someone mentioned envy. You know, and when I was in my disease, I was envious of everyone who had what I didn't think I had. I was envious of those that had a loving relationship or had money or were thin or all of those things. You know, in recovery, a fellow said to me, one of my, you know, positive affirmations, if you will, is, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough, you know, because I'm one of God's kids, and God has given me exactly what I need. On almost every page in the Big Book, the other thing I want to pull out is each might pray about it. And then almost every page of the Big Book, it asks us or directs us to pause and to pray. You know, in all of my intimate relationships prior to making amends, I had to pause and pray and ask for direction. The very last amends that I made was, it happened to be in New York City, and I was away from home, away from my family. I'd already been away from home for 10 days and told my husband I needed to stop in New York City to make this amends. And I think he thought that I had lost my mind. But when I said, you know, this is what I feel like God is directing me to do. And he said to me, well, how can I argue with that? And in making this particular amends, this is someone who I had deeply cared for my entire life and had carried a resentment around for at least 30 years, thinking that I was hurting them, which, of course, I was not hurting them. I was hurting me. At that time, I didn't know if they would understand what I was doing. I stopped and spent the night with them and went out to dinner with them and made amends at the dinner table. And still not knowing and really having to let go of whatever the outcome was going to be. But the next morning before I was on my way to the airport, my uncle said to me, thank you. And so thank you. Thanks for time. Thank you for letting me share. Really grateful. And I think my takeaway is I'm going to pause and pray and then proceed. God bless you all. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. So before Hanayeta jumps up there, let me let you know where you are, where we are. Chapter 6 into action, page 82, the first paragraph, perhaps there are some cases, and it ends with face-to-face combat. All right, Hanayeta, you're up.
Thank you. This is Russ, right, isn't it?
Yep.
Thank you, Russ. This is Hanayeta R. from Texas. Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I am in remission today. Thank you, God. So, you know, I used to think I was jealous, but then when somebody said that jealousy means that I want what somebody has and they shouldn't have it, that's not what I am. And envious, I thought maybe it was envious, but I'm not going to not be happy if I don't get what they have. I just like what they have and would like to be able to do it too. And that's especially if one of my sisters and my brother, they get to travel all over and I can't travel. And I would like to be able to travel, to have the money to go wherever I want. But that's got nothing to do with the ninth step. So, and that's what we're talking about right now. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that maybe that both will decide to let the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. I think that's kind of how I am with my husband, but I mean, we never talk about it. But what I'm finding is that I yell at my husband. I do yell at him. I feel like there's reasons for me to yell at him, but I shouldn't be yelling at him. I'm trying to learn how to talk to him kindly, with loving kindness. But if I keep saying that I'm just sorry, but keep yelling at him, then those words mean nothing. They're like nothing. It's like, you know, the person that hits himself in the head with a hammer because his head hurts. You know, but it's kind of, I just have to stop yelling. And I am, and I'm so much better. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so much better. But I still tend to, I mean, yesterday something happened, and I was on the phone with my sponsor, just so happens, and he made this comment that he wanted me to get something out of the trunk. And I was thinking, you know, wait, I've worked all day. We've just shopped at two stores and walking around there. What have you been doing all day, sitting around watching TV, and you want me to do it? You know, and that was my comment, you know, and so he went in the house, and I said that to my sponsor. I said, I didn't say anything to him. I said, and I'm going to let it go, but that's how I feel. She goes, I understand 100%, but it doesn't mean I'm supposed to yell at him. And so that's what I'm working on, because I don't want to have to keep making amends. I don't want to keep having to keep making amends. So I want to stop. So I'm thanking God for my progress and patting myself on the back and saying I'm doing a good job. Thank you, sir. And I just want to tell all the newcomers and people who are struggling, don't quit. 5 minutes before the miracles, because as you can see, miracles happen. This is a miracle that I'm not yelling at my husband. So thank you very much, and have a great day and a fantastic weekend. Bye, Russ.
Thanks, Anietta. Next up is Cheryl. I think it was Cheryl A, I think. I hope.
Yes, it was Cheryl A. Hi, Rick. Good morning. As the truth is, I think I'm going to try to jump up ahead. I have a couple kid issues here, so let's move on to the next person, and I'll try to jump up ahead. Thanks so much.
All right, I'll come back in before we go over to the next round.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is Troy C.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. Troy C., compulsive overeater from Florida. I'm so happy that we're going through this because I'm working on my amends right now. And, I feel like what the book is trying to warn me about is basically, okay, bud, you're reaching out to all these people that you've harmed. You're contacting them. Maybe you've been avoiding them for a long time. And you say, hey, I screwed you over. I stole from you. I ruined your reputation, whatever. I want to pay restitution. I want to make it right in whatever way I can. And, you know, spoilers, what often ends up happening in my experience is that person just says, oh, it's so cool that you reached out. Good on you for doing that. Don't even worry about it. Or, yeah, here's how much you owe me, but wow, that's so cool that you did. And it feels really good. And so naturally, it might occur to me to go to my partner and say, hey, I cheated on you with this person. What can I do to make it right? Tell me I'm a great guy. Self can insert itself here. My desire for, you know, good feelings can take the lead, you know, and it can so easily masquerade as, you know, for me, I'm just trying to do the right thing. I'm just trying to set everything right. And what I'm really doing is I'm getting high off of, you know, all this cool stuff, all these good comments I'm getting. And so I feel like what this part of the book is trying to do is remind me that even here I can cause harm. And specifically, like in the preceding paragraph, it's basically saying, like, okay, you alcoholic, you cheated on your wife, and now you got to tell her about it. But should you? Consider what might happen. So, you know, I'm not married. I do have, you know, past romantic relationships where I didn't behave well. And what the book is saying in this paragraph, you know, in the preceding paragraph, it's like, well, maybe we shouldn't tell them about it because it could really harm them. And in this paragraph, it says, I mean, maybe there are circumstances in which there, you know, you should be frank and say about it. But what the book is communicating is, sorry, there's really nobody else on earth that can tell you what to do. And in those situations, the message we've received in the preceding pages is go to God. At this point in the step work, hopefully the relationship is there enough that you can pause when you're doubtful and ask for the right thought or direction, because you're dealing with jealousy. This is an intense human emotion. It can cause irreparable harm. So, you know, be careful with your decision here. Do no harm. Try to be the good doctor. It's a powerful message, because my desire to get that pat on the back, you know, it can really take the lead and cause me to make a regrettable decision, even here, even in the step work. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. So before we take another group, and we're going to put Cheryl at the top of that list, you know, we have a convention coming up in November. So the Power of the Big Book Weekend 2025, it's 252 days away. And it's just a great weekend filled with fellowship, meetings, studying the big book. You connect with people that we talk to every day, get to see their face. And if you like to register early, all you got to do is go to our website, visionforyou.info. So that's A-V-I-S-I-O-N, the numeral 4, Y-O-U.info, and you'll see the day counter will be there, and then you come down, and I believe you go to more info right under the counter, and it shows you how to register. So that's great, and that's a great weekend. All right, we are in Into Action, Chapter 6, page 82, that first paragraph. We're starting with, perhaps there are some cases, ending with face-to-face combat. So we're going to have Shirley start us off, and who else would like to share?
Melissa.
Christina T.
So we got Melissa
Ann Marie
C.
M.
Susan P.
Melissa
from Georgia.
C. Okay, 1 second. Melissa C., Christina.
Christina
J. Christina J. Ann Marie. Yes, Ann Marie.
Susan
and
P.
then there was
from
someone. Well, one more time.
Susan P. from Georgia.
Oh, Susan P. Susan P. from Georgia. All right. Let's see. Let's go with this for now. And if we could grab some more, which I think we might be able to. Shirley, and I believe she's from Massachusetts, I think. Melissa C. from New York. Christina J. And then Anne Marie Ann.
Rick, I still can't jump in, so just move on.
Rick, press star one, please.
All right. I got muted. Sorry about that. So we're going to have Melissa C. jump up on here. Can you all hear me now?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Russ, for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, when I read this part and it talks about no outsider can appraise such an intimate situation, that means like not even your sponsor, you know? And I know like, yeah, we go to our sponsors, right? We go to our trusted fellows for guidance. And I have to tell you, like, I've messed up as a sponsor where I would like urge somebody to make an amend, you know, to do it a certain way. And I remember like years ago, one of them went really poorly and the person was very upset with me afterwards, you know, because I kind of like impressed on her to do it. And then I remembered I shared that back with my sponsor. I was like, I can't believe she's upset with me. And my sponsor had said like, who do you think you are? Like, it says really clearly, no outsider. Like, and that wasn't specifically talking about a marital situation, but I kind of say in any intimate situation that, you know, what we really have to do is, by this point in our recovery, we are really building upon our relationship with God. And so we go to God to help clarify how we're going to proceed and how the amend is going to look. And nobody should impress upon another person precisely what they ought to do. And I, you know, it's something that I regret. I'm really careful now. And then I think about my own life, you know, and I just think, like, I'm so grateful for this program. Like, I came here because I was morbidly obese. I came here because I was fat. And I can't believe what a beautiful way of life I got. Like, you know, relief from the obsession of eating compulsively was just the start. It was just like God's opening act, because what I got was good sense and loving kindness in my marriage, in my relationships, that I have this way of life where I want to put other people's happiness uppermost in my mind. And I feel like, you know, when you approach life in that direction, every relationship improves like 100 times over. And that really has happened in my marriage, that I have a much stronger marriage today than I could have ever dreamed of. That, you know, I look at my husband today and we've got like, you know, we've been together many, many years. I was a kid when I met him, and I've fallen more and more in love with this human, and I know that it is a result of doing this work. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Christina J., followed by Maria.
Morning, everyone. Morning, Rick. You know what really stands out? Rick, Russ.
you know, what really stands out for me in this paragraph is how I had a tender human heart in my life that made a commitment to me in my first marriage, and I made a commitment to him. And things went south through the years, and we both pulled away from each other. Who knows if he went out, but I went out. And it took 7 affairs for me to realize what I'd done to this human heart, to my own heart. And I had to be frank with him. Now, people have jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? Fear that we're not good enough. I sleep with another person. How does that other person feel? Step out in my mind. I don't have to tell the person, but how does that make me feel if I have a consciousness? I need to care about the other person's heart when I'm thinking about making amends. Is it going to cause jealousy? Am I going to hurt them deeper than I've already hurt myself? And possibly it will hurt them if I'm frank. You know, it's precious and tender to have someone trust you in this regard. It's so rampant in our world. You know, pictures of people posing sexually everywhere. And, you know, women can be very sensitive and so can men. And I was during my whole first marriage. I was so scared because my husband was a head turner. I was so scared and I lived in fear that I wasn't good enough. And my mother died from resentments of jealousy. I can say that. She was twisted up and turned. Every man, poor men that were just attacked viciously because she couldn't trust them. She couldn't let herself be loved. She was afraid she wasn't good enough. So in this dealing with this jealousy thing and thinking about a partner that I need to make amends to, I have to be careful with that tender human heart that has trusted me and loved me. Loving kindness. Thankfully, today I'm free of that because those 7 affairs taught me. There was such pain in that. I will never do that again in any lifetime. I'm so grateful for those lessons, but I'm so sorry that I had to hurt somebody else. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Anne-Marie M.
Yes.
Thank you, Russ. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovering compulsive overeater and grateful to be here this morning. What I was going to say has already been said. It's really important for me to go over any kind of amends I need to make with my sponsor. And to, you know, especially one dealing with jealousy. And especially, you know, thinking that I could, you know, allow the problem to be attacked on the flank rather than face to face. Because I would rather, much rather do that, not do a direct amends. And I've heard that over, you know, the last couple of days, people speaking about that too. I need to be honest with myself. On the AA medallion, it says, to thine own self be true. And when I would need to be true to myself, going into prayer has been helpful in the past, and to sit quietly and listen to where God, you know, wants me to be directed. And along with that, I also, you know, run it by my sponsor, run it by somebody that knows me, run it by somebody that knows that, you know, am I trying to get away with something? So, you know, to thine own self be true with God and with another, I guess it's like kind of like the fifth step, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being that just came into my mind. So to be open to listening to what I might need to do differently. You know, and to keep an open mind. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. All right, next up is Susan P., I believe, from Georgia.
Yes, this is Susan P. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Russ, and thank you for Vision for being there. As far as jealousy and envy go, you know, we have a saying to compare to despair. We look at people who have more than us, and we wish we had that. But I never seem to remember to look at people who have less than us. And the answer for me is gratitude, because I have a very good and blessed life today. But as far as making amends, I have been in a lot of anguish over amends to deceased people, particularly my parents. And I had trouble forgiving myself. And I know the purpose of amends is not to forgive ourselves, but to make things right. How do you make things right with people who are deceased? And so what I finally did is I wrote a letter to each of my parents, not only being very specific of the harm that I did to them, and basically I was a good daughter. Anything that I did usually came out of my pain. And I never set out to hurt them. But I still did things out of rage because while they were alive, I was in OA, but I was not in recovery. So I wrote letters to them thanking them specifically for everything they did and specifying the things I regretted. And I went to their graves, their grave sites, and I read it to them. And then I folded up the paper and I put it in that little metal canister where you put flowers and stuff. And the greatest amends that I can make to them is being in recovery, because that was my biggest regret. I wish I had been in recovery so I could have done better, but that just wasn't God's will for me. But the result was that I feel relieved. It says in the big book, we don't sink into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection, but I was powerless not to do that. And now I'm not doing that anymore. And I look at each day of recovery as a testimony, as a living amends to them. And as far as my husband goes, he's also deceased. He has been since 2007. It was a very difficult marriage. And I went to his grave site, and I did the same thing. I still have certain specific amends to make to him. But the great gift of this program is that we can heal because we don't need the actions of the other people. We look at ourselves. You know, we can't change other people, but we could change ourselves with God's help. And that's where the real healing is, and that's what this program has taught me, and I'm very grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Susan. So we got time for, let's see, let's do two more shares.
Pete B.
Penny C.
Pete and Penny. Pete B and Penny C. Pete, you're up, buddy.
Thanks, Chris, for taking me to Canadian service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm recovering today by God's grace of mercy in Pennsylvania. And so no outsider can appraise such an intimate situation, right? I love what Melissa said. No outsider can do that, right? But if no outsider can, and only prayer can, well, we gotta ask for guidance and direction, right? Because one of the objectives of working the steps is we're supposed to be learning to utilize our instincts and our resources, our internal resources provided by the Creator, and we're supposed to be learning to be able to make an accurate self-appraisal. It tells us that in step 10, in the essay on step 10 in the AA 12 and 12. So one of the ways that we can assess or apprise how to address this situation is we have to look at what the step is asking us to do. Right? And what is the step asking us to do? It's asking us to make amends, to make up for the wrongdoing that we did, either compensate or make up for in some way what I did wrong, for the harm that I've caused. And harm is doing material or physical damage to someone. Right? It's not asking us to make a direct apology, because all an apology is a regretful acknowledgement of an offense or failure. It doesn't fix the harm I caused. So I have to ask myself, did I cause a harm? Or did I cause a hurt, right? Because this isn't asking us to make an apology for the hurt I caused. There's opportunity for that, right? Our hurts, the way we hurt people, that gets reconciled when God puts that opportunity in our path. So we're not making a list of people we're going out to make an apology to. We're making a list of people we're going out that we have to make amends to. And they're different words and they have different meanings. And just because we may have received incorrect instruction on what we're out to go do, it doesn't mean that that's what we're doing. There's opportunity for reconciliation because we've turned our life and will over to the care of God as we understand God. We've developed ideals going forward in our relationships, and we're challenged to live consistent with those ideals. And no outsider can assess whether those ideals are aligned with God's will or not. Regardless of how spiritually centered you are or advanced you think you are, and you can influence other people to think the way you want to think, this is about having a relationship with God as I understand God, not as you understand God. See, this process, this allows us to walk free, right? And we can't just, you know, because there's not a whole, you know, load of people that we harm, we can't go thinking, well, I'm just going to go make apologies, because in many instances, these apologies, they put the onus on the other person to accept them and put pressure on other people to accept them, and we wind up doing more damage than we do benefit. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Pete. Next up is Penny C.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Russ. Thank you. And everybody who's on the line, I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm from the Boston area. With all this talk about jealousy, I was constantly jealous of other people for all sorts of things. Mainly, I would every day look at people who were thin, and if they were tall and thin, oh my gosh. But I've read, I cheat myself when I'm jealous of others. Because when I'm jealous, I always come out the loser. And so what's the panacea for this? Is gratitude, 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 gratitude. And when I start feeling jealous and, you know, people have more than I have and I would want that, I turn to something I thought of many years ago in program is that this is the life God gave me. And I'm disrespectful to my higher power when I try to tell him that my life should be different. My life is what it is, and with gratitude I can see all the blessings that I have. So every day I write 10 gratitudes, and I exchange them with 3 other fellows in the program, and it's just amazing what gratitude can do. And hardly ever do I feel jealous of anybody else today. Mainly, I'm grateful for this program that has changed my life completely, completely. I can't even imagine where I'd be without the 12-step way of life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny. We have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like it? Don't all jump at once. We about a minute and a half now. Who would like?
Kathy R. Kathy R.
All right, go ahead, Kathy. You got it.
Oh, okay. I was trying to jump in on the last one, but I wasn't quick enough. So now I kind of forgot what I was going to say. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. I loved what I heard about, you know, a sponsor, because I don't want to say I was guided to do something, but I just had something. I'm not really even sure to this day that it was an amend necessary, but it just ate at me for years and years and years. And so she sort of said, well, you know, maybe you should do it. So I did it, it was actually – he doesn't live near me, and I found him on the internet in about 2 seconds, his address, and I mailed him a letter, a very, very short letter. I didn't put my return address on it or sign my, my marriage name. Anyway, I'm not sure that was, you know, the right way to do it, but I didn't want to start anything up because he had remarried. I was never married to him, but he had remarried, and I just didn't, you know, just learning through step 9 how to be careful. And I felt such an immense relief when I put that in the mailbox. And then the next day when I told my sponsor, she was like, she almost sounded shocked that I had done it. So, okay, thank you. Pass.
Thanks, Kathy. You're going to be our last share, and we thank everyone who shared today on today's meeting. Also, thank you to everybody that did service for the month of February for this meeting. If you want to share, we've got another meeting coming up, the unrecorded hour, where you can ask questions and study the same paragraph. All right, today's share ID, Friday, February 28, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,210. That's 22210. And now we're going to close the meeting with a reading from the big book. That page 164, Joni Y is going to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning. Joni Y here from Connecticut, compulsive overeater, and very grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.